Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds.
Good evening, everyone. We are here at the studio for our broadcast of Let's Talk Truth. This is March the 25th, 2014, and it's 7:30 p.m., and we're just here to welcome you to our show. Our show today is entitled, You Can't Take That Away From Me, and the dynamics of this show is really, really great because we're going through a lot of different things in society, and this country is going through a lot of things, which makes us focus on ourselves just a little bit more. And sometimes in focusing on ourselves, we become vulnerable, and, you know, it's designed that way to where we won't have confidence in ourselves. But on tonight's show, our panel is going to examine the emotions and the backlash that a person can experience. And you can experience these emotional backlashes only, and if we have been stripped of the power that we have been given in our lives. And if we're being stripped of our power, it leaves us vulnerable and emotionally scarred. And we can be this way for a lifetime if we don't find some way to actually gain our power back. And so tonight, this is what we're going to talk about. We have to get to the position where we have to understand that power belongs to us. And we're here to serve notice in our lives that you can't take that away from me. You can't take the power away from me. So our panel this evening, we're going to discuss these different things because we have all experienced somewhat of an emotional backlash in which our power has been tried. We have had our power stripped from us. So we have to get to that point where we've got to really understand who we are and know that our power is ours. So if we have come across that in a lot of our jobs, the way people talk to you, basically it's people that's in authority. They have the, I guess, what it takes to strip us of power if we allow them to strip that power from us. And we're going to ask our panel here to kind of start us off, giving us a little insight on what we're talking about. When we say, you can't take that away from me. This is my power. I'm not vulnerable to you. And first of all, I kind of want to ask a question. What would make a person want to take your power away from you? What purpose does that serve?
To break you down. But no one even really knows what makes them do things. People just do things just for the heck of it. Or it could be jealousy. It could be something that they see in you that they want. It's a number of reasons.
But the bottom line is, I believe, now you all can differ with me if you want, because I believe that if I strip you of your power, that makes me feel more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So
stripping, when someone strips you of your power, that's a form of control.
Mm-hmm.
They're controlling what you do.
Mm-hmm.
They, it's, for instance, if we were going down a hallway and there was room to get out, but I only wanted you to go down this one hallway, I would lock all the doors on the side where you
mm-hmm.
and direct you where I wanted you to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's in essence of stripping someone of their power, because I want to control. I want to be the one that can tell you what to do, where to go, how to do it.
Because
and
that
and it empowers me, because I feel like I'm a big shot, like as if I rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody deep down, our most inner being wants to rule over something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how good you are. Everyone wants to be the head of something. No one wants to be, you know, you never hear someone that says, well, do you want to stay a private all your life or do you want to be a general? I want to be a general. Everybody wants their own house, their own business. You know, nobody wants to be a secretary for 30 years. They want everyone aspires to be the CEO.
Okay.
So in turn, everyone wants power. So when I strip your power,
it gives the it's a falseness, because you stripping me of my power doesn't make you more powerful.
But
you just feel
that way because the situation.
Mhm. And I totally agree. And I want to say something. If power and confidence in this show today is sort of synonymous, and if you can strip me of my confidence, then that keeps me on a level where I have to keep looking to you for something. And you find people in leadership positions that do this to people all the time. I'm going to tell you where it's greatly seen, in the church. Do you know there are pastors out there who don't want their congregation to know that they can pray for themselves or that they can seek God on their own? They always want their congregation to need them to do certain things. So I think that's a form of control and stripping people of the power that they have, because a lot
like
of people don't know they have that power.
Directing God, people to do whatever you want them to do. It's like the puppet master and the puppets, you know. You have the little thing in your hand with the string, and you're just playing a character.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, you can get people to think what they want to. You know, everybody makes reference. Back in my day, it was a rap group called UGK. And, you know, they're very, you know, vulgar. But they had a verse in one of their songs that if you miss, if you get the head, the body will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. That's in all things. If you get a person's mind, they are in essence yours, because their mind controls their body. Whatever you subliminally suggest to them, whatever you have persuasiveness over them, whatever you say to them, they'll, you know, take it as being the law.
So in essence, what you're saying is this can really go deeper than what we think.
No.
It's, in other words, it has a lot to do with a lot of our females that's controlled by the wrong men in relationships.
It's,
yeah, that's everything. If you,
it's down to its core, to the core, it is that is fundamentally corrupt at its core base, because it has invaded not just our individual lives. Yes, a boyfriend stripping the control of a woman, she doesn't know how her worth. He strips her worth, and it's hiding it. Like, you don't know that you're worth, you're priceless, so you just get beat on. A man, same thing. A woman can strip him of his worth.
Yes.
And he is sitting there, what's the word for it? Emasculated or whatever. But he's stripped of his manliness, and now he's weak. You have this. This is a common thread in society. And the reason why it is you, when you find the person that's stripping, they're scared of their power base being taken away.
So okay,
they
so you're actually saying
restrict you.
That the perpetrator is the one that's really the weak link.
Exactly. Let me tell you. I'll show you. And, you know, this Let's Talk Truth, and, you know, we're, you know, we come from the, you know, Bible and things like that. But let me take it out of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's take our everyday lives, and our everyday lives is the government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a conspiracy theory or anything like that.
I understand.
But they restrict us because we don't know our worth. We look at them in awe. Like, oh, my God, I could, if you would ask the average person, I couldn't sit at their table. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. When we realize that they work for us, excuse me, but they have stripped our self-esteem away, if you will, so that we willingly give up our rights of things to do,
mm-hmm.
our rights to smoke where we want to smoke, our rights to do this, our rights to live where we want to live. You know, we let them have eminent domain.
Because we have controlled them, but we have given it to them,
and they are trying to protect their power base. And that's in human lives, at schools. You wonder why you can't get ahead in a job when you're qualified. The head is protecting their power base. They're not gonna let you up there because they know you're not thinking like them.
Mm-hmm. And they think you'll restructure.
You'll tear down that greed level there. Exactly.
In.
So if you can pull enough essence from people,
mm-hmm.
they can't organize. It's a basic military strategy. You keep your enemy disorganized, you can take over a country with a few people. With, you know, if everybody's
fighting amongst themselves.
And then they don't know. You know, the quickest way to destroy a battalion size regiment in the army or in the military is cut communications.
So I'm
using this, but this is how it happens. When you cut communications, everybody's going, and they're not communicating with each other, so they're not on one accord. They're not united. So everybody, and then here come, you start taking our pockets, and the enemy starts, and then before you know it, 500 people have beat 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're saying that the way you're saying it, and it really sheds a light on where we are in our lives at the present. Because have you thought about how disorganized the power base of families are? Families will not become united. You know, because they fight amongst themselves, and then if they're not united, they can't build.
Families
don't communicate.
Exactly.
And I'm not trying to be funny. I know that's with anybody. You know, like I use a job. In essence, that's like your family. You have a manager. That person is over you. That don't mean they know everything.
Mm-mm.
Lack of communication. If you tell him, you know, hey, I do this report every day, and I saw a dot down there, and it looks like it's going to give us some trouble. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Laugh it off, then
mm-hmm.
boom, it blows up. Oh, well.
Now they got to fire people, and they're going to fire you, and he's going to keep his job because he's going to make sure that it goes on the other person. protecting your power base.
Yeah.
And what she said, in families, they rob you of your essence. I show you how people rob families of their control, of their self-control, and manipulate. If we have to work extra long hours, if the man has to get a night job and a day job, and then the mom has to get a night job and a day job, who's raising the children?
The grandma or the
So kid? The children is not, the child is not getting the love it needs from the mother and the father,
mm-hmm.
so they don't bond. So that bond, that not bonding without a parent there, the child is left to his own devices.
Of course.
Then that's when you get messing with stuff and they, oh, I want to try this and do all this. It basically goes down to people not knowing their worth. And once we start knowing our worth, we won't take things lightly.
Well, let me ask you this. We're talking about stripping families of power. You have, back in the day with my parents, we had a mother-father work union, but not all the time. You know, my mother, she was at home with us a lot of times, and my dad worked. Now, our young mothers don't think they can live, or they don't want to live without a job, because, and I see it so much, women feel like, well, I've got to get out and work, but if you really look around,
but
what they're making, not even making a dent in their lifestyle.
But the difference of it now is, that should have stopped a long time ago, but, see, the control was started ages ago. So now it is required for two people to work, unless it is a highly degreed job where you make buku of money, because everything they make sure we want two people working at all times. That's how it's built now.
I know, but that's to me, that's control of power in a unit. Let me ask you this:
not even that. Nowadays, most of these women have to work because they have children, but no present father.
I understand that, but I'm talking about what we have, husband and wife. And frankly, that's another show, but I think a lot of these single mothers choose to be single. They don't have to be single. They choose that single lifestyle because that's
just
the way
the type of people they choose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They choose that lifestyle. And when I say they choose that lifestyle,
the same control, even like you said about the married couple. Let's say you got a married couple. The husband's working. Okay, they make it get by on his salary. But nowadays, women feel they have to work. Why? Because it has been the perception thrown about that you can't depend. I mean, it's passed down all the time. You know, you can't always depend on that man. You have to make sure you have something for yourself. You have to make sure you have this. And in essence, that's a form of control because you're not willing to relinquish yourself completely to someone else. You have to have a bit of control of yourself. Like, if I want to buy a piece of candy, I'm going to buy it because I work. If I want to buy that pair of shoes, I'm going to buy it because I work. You know, I need to have something for myself. And that's a control issue as well. And that's the person I want to relinquish any power because nowadays people feel like, if I'm the at-home mom and you're working all the time and I'm at home taking care of the kids doing this, I'm taking care of everything with your money. So at any given time, you could say, no, we're not doing this because, you know, I work. We're not going to spend this. But if I work too, that means we can do the things that we both want to do.
But see, that happened. That what you're saying happened. And it was allowed a long time ago. So now the program has come into play. Now it's autonomous.
It's part of the regimen.
It was at first. It was manual. People did it. You know. Once you started, you know, it's just like a snowball. Somebody formed the snowball and kept rolling until now it's rolling downhill and it's big. You can't stop it. Now it's, yeah, now it has a mind of its own. And these are the things that we have to understand when we in our everyday going and comings. We have to sit there and say this in our mind. Are we tired of dealing with just anything? You sit in, you know, when the listeners and the panel, when we leave this studio and when you turn off this internet radio show, you need to think and say, am I tired of being told the same old, same old?
And see, that's what I'm trying to get through. We're talking about stripping people of power. We're talking about a husband and wife team that you have been stripped of your power to be a stay-at-home mom. Now I have to go to work. But when are we going to rise up and say, no, I don't have to. I'm being told that I do, but I really don't have to.
Okay.
If I come together, hold on. If we come together and put that dollar together, we can stretch that dollar together and make it $100. You know what I'm saying? Because, hold on, and listen to this. We are going on the premise that, yeah, we both have to work. But how many people do you know that's working, that have two parents in the home that's working and still don't have enough money?
Right. So imagine what it would be if they didn't.
But the thing of it is, you're being...
What Courtney said, you know, you can say... We can say all day long, we're being controlled. The question is not now, oh, like, how do we automatically stop being controlled? This has been going on for some time.
To revamp our way of thinking.
But it has to be done in a unified manner, because it doesn't make sense for one family to stand up and say, you know what, I want our family unit to do this. You know, she doesn't have to work. She doesn't want to or have the need, doesn't have the desire to work, but she has to because we're not making, our ends don't meet because of this. But that's all over the world.
But
it's all over the world. There's
been
no unity for it. When there are things that are passed, laws that are passed, you know, people don't go out, people say, out alone. Oh, you know, I didn't vote. Well, then vote, because you are the person who puts that person in office. You have laws that took place. For example, when George Bush Jr., the little one, was in office, it was something stupid I should have went and voted for, but the daylight saving time. It used to be 6 months, and then 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now it's not. That aggravates me. But I never went and voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I lose my extra hour for a couple of months than I was getting for 6 months.
Well, now let me say this, and I understand what you're saying. We're talking about here. We're emphatically saying you can't take my power away from me, but we're willingly giving it up.
The reason we don't take the time to think.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason why we give it up. Easy way to give up. I can show you some ways that we give up power.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give up the power of privacy. I'll show you how we gave that up.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news. 40 people dead. Crime is all out of whack. We can fix that if we put cameras everywhere. Okay, because I want to feel safer.
As if the camera is going to make us feel safe.
So they put cameras up, and crime is still happening. But you feel safe. See, you can't go, certain towns, you can't go on the block without your face being face recognition and all this. Now, this is what people say to give up our
power.
Well, if I ain't doing nothing and I ain't no crook, then I don't have no problem taking my pictures and doing whatever. You might not have a problem, but that's wrong. Because let me ask this, has crime went down because of it?
No.
Has this happened because of it? So then how are you telling me? See, people don't question things that laws was being passed and all this kind of stuff, like these hoopla laws and stuff. I feel that people are getting fat, so I'm going to ban sugar. So I'm telling people, but you know, I feel safer because of that. I feel like our kids are, you know, losing weight. Have they lost weight?
No.
Then why did you give your, see, it's different. It's different meanings to give your power away. First, they scare you into giving your power away. Then they con you, well, the same thing as this conning, but they scare you, and then you with, see, they can't take nothing away that you don't give away. That's what
people
understand.
Well, let me ask you this, and you brought something to the forefront just then. We're saying what I have, what's mine, you can't take it. And so in order to give you my power and to give you my confidence in myself and to give you my self-esteem, I have to give that
to you. I have to offer it up.
Now, do you really believe that there is a genuine concern for overweight children?
No.
I feel that if it was a genuine concern, they would stop the way they grow things.
Not only that, if it was a genuine concern, they would be stricter on crime than they would so these kids go outside and play. You know, they would clean up these parks. Oh, you can't do it. You can do it.
Yes, you can.
You can do it. You make some of these people, but see, you target, you pick and choose what you want to do. This is what the law does. It's just not blanketed for everybody. They pick and choose what they want. They do things, and it doesn't even work. But then things are on the book.
It's on paper.
And this is what people don't understand. Every day we give our essence away willingly. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because can nobody take your life unless you give it?
And that's in
it. And people say, they took my, you have to give it up. And when I say give it up, you have to be in that place at that time or whatever like that. To your decisions that you make entail what you give up. Now, you can stop that, but it takes you to be firm in your decision making and in your thought process. No, you're not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to comply because it doesn't make any sense. And you will not rob me forever. You know, we as a unit, as a nation, should go and say, why are we paying so much for gas?
Yeah.
You know, okay, if this is going to work, what you're saying, put it out there. Now, you're here to tell me, this is my thing. If you're here to tell me that 300 million people, I guess, or give or take a couple of hundred million, U.S. citizens, can't say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this. You know, but we have given our power away to them. So now they sit as big elites sitting up there trying to take, you can't say this. You can't own this type of weapon. You can't do this kind of church. You can't, you know, put this out in your front yard because it might offend someone. My generation, they've been working on all the generations, but after mine, they really got into the next generation after mine to be compliant to things, just to lay down and take anything, you know. And then they're so smart, they're so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they're so, you know, I know if somebody can be is pulling the wool. They steady pulling it, but you're too smart. You're so smart.
You can't see it.
That you can't see it because you are too arrogant. So now they just steady doing it and steady doing it. All this compliance. Oh, if someone comes in here, you know, you just give them what they want and you run out and just give it to them. You can replace it, but no consequence happens.
Mm-mm.
So they get bolder.
Mm-hmm.
If you let someone keep on doing something, they're going to get bolder because you're giving your power away.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, they, you know, if I go to Ms. Bullock every day and demand $50 and she get it, I'm just going to one day just go in her purse and just take it. I'm just going to cut the middleman out.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with you totally.
But if you go when they say yeah, and you say no and they give it to me and you fire one up, they're going to like, you know what? I'm not going to mess with that lady and ask her for $50 because this action plus this action equals this action.
Yes. I agree. I agree with you.
And so many people have just let things go and slide because we want to live in a utopia. If we want it to be peace, people, one thing, that's the biggest control ever in this world. There will never be peace all over this world because it's people wanting to control things.
And the only way that there can be peace any place, you have to first have peace within yourself.
But you give it away when you know.
When you allow people to do certain things. And let's go back to employment. We have big businesses, and they hire certain managers. And they talk to their employees, the like their craft. And nothing is ever done by it. You know, you can't sue now in the state of Texas and stop how you're treated on a job. But you can break in my house and cut yourself on my window for breaking in, and you can sue me.
That's people, they go after who they can get.
Yeah, or who's
you know,
easy to get.
Yeah, easy. No one really wants to work for nothing anymore. They don't, and that's, oh my God, my career would be tanked if I did that. But when do we get be? Because I'm not taking this.
Mm-hmm.
You that's know, exactly. And see, it's not the company as a whole. It's just that the company is so massive. Because, you know, companies are so massive nowadays that their core people don't know what the right hand is doing and what the left hand is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying, bottom line. They look at the bottom line. Bottom line, what do we make this year? What do we make this year?
Mm-hmm.
They're not, that it's not attention made to the little things.
And those are the things that keep it functioning. Now, these are the things that we have to think about when we find ourselves in those positions. When you try to degrade me on my job, or you think you're taking away my self-esteem, really and truly, I think that
you show me how weak you are.
How weak you are. And what we need to do is stop people from doing that.
And you know what? And, you know, I talk this kind of stuff because I'm passionate about it. But at my job, where I work, you know, it was brought to our attention. One of the heads said, y'all should be happy y'all have a job, you know, when we was asking for raises.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, no, you should be happy that you have a job because without us, you have no job.
Exactly.
I said, what are CEOs and managers going to do to run the company? You're going to make all this, if you employ 3,000 people, maybe 50 or 100 are managers. The rest of the people do the actual work. So when we get it in our mind that we, the people that's in the workforce, that we have the power,
mm-hmm.
don't let no one talk to you any kind of way, because I'm not scared of no man.
Mm-hmm.
I respect all people, but I'm not scared. And if you come to me saying something like that, I will let you know who has the power. You might can fire me, but you're not going to fire all 3,000 workers and try to hire 3,000 workers again and expect this company. If that happened, you would lose out. Case in point, at my job. And I'll let you know that once you become on this, let you know that when you stop people from taking stuff away from you and become unified, things get done.
Mm-hmm.
It was a supervisor that none of his team liked him because he was corrupt. He was dirty, and he would do things and write people up for little stuff. So this happened two times. So what happened for one shift, they didn't work. Now, this is like 40, 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
They did not work. They didn't
do anything.
Do any labor. They just sat around. So when the numbers came out, and his boss was looking at scratching his head, like, what happened here? You telling me you're usually doing 40,000 things and for the shift and you have nothing? Buddy, you're fired.
Mm-hmm. You know why that is? Because it's
everybody's scared.
It's unified, exactly. If you're just one voice and you say something, and you know you always have that person who says they're with you, but they don't want to stand any ground.
Oh no, yeah.
Oh yeah, I got it.
That's
it. You know, and then when you say something, everybody, or that person that taps you in the meeting that says, "Tell them this." No, you tell them.
Yeah, you know, because you don't want
to
be labeled as. You don't want
to
be labeled, and
I don't want them to say that. I'm
frankly
scared to lose my job.
Frankly,
you have to stand up. Don't pick nobody else to be a scapegoat. If there is a problem, that's what I try to convey to people all the time. No one will ever know that something is a problem until you make them aware of it. Now, if you make someone aware that this is a problem and they continue to do the same thing you told them was a problem, then you can take other steps. But then you can't sit around and get upset if you don't tell them it's a problem. Or we're not going to do that today. Uh-uh. We don't want to make any waves. No, wave it. Shake it out the rafters.
Another time that happened, and they was like, man, morale is real low. This is the same thing at my job. This is a couple of years. They were telling me before I came there. Right before I came. So, see, when, like I said before, companies get so big that the head don't know really what the other ones.
Right,
so
they just look at the bottom line.
Compartmentalize
mm-hmm.
Trouble, you know, and they keep it isolated where it won't nobody hear, where it'll leak out. And the big wigs, like CEOs and CFOs, they see the big picture, which is loss of money by lawsuit. It's like, if all these people go and file a lawsuit, we as a company will lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
That means I will lose a lot of money because CEOs make big money,
mm-hmm.
and they make it when companies do good. So what they did was they came to our department and was like, all the big wigs that don't never come in, they came in with their lawyers and other people, and they came in and they said, we need all of the workers, minus the supervisors, to come this way. We understand it's not going to be work for this time, but they had it, and then they said,
because the bottom line is they're willing to make that sacrifice because they need to get to the bottom of it because they can't continue to not know when that's going to happen again.
And so what they did was they sat in there and they was like, so how is your supervisor? And they like, this is strictly confidential. Your supervisor ain't going to know who said what. And they boom, boom, drop the hammer. Mm-hmm. So when they drop the hammer and the people return, then they call the supervisors. And if they came to that supervisor on the floor and said, come this way, they were fired.
Mm-hmm.
They said, because we don't want this to keep taking place.
Exactly.
See, once you
but they
stop
wasn't there about,
from
but they were unified, though,
exactly.
Wasn't there about business. I'll give you a better example. They had a meeting similar to that in the job I used to work. Of course, they didn't put me down to go. You know, I don't get to go to that because I'll talk. Now, instead of them talking about real issues,
they talk about the things, like putting the snack machine in and stuff like
the,
that.
No. At the end of year celebration, why did y'all serve pork? I don't eat pork. First of all, it's not a Bank of America thing. That's a department thing. That's not, why would you go in there complaining about them serving pork instead of saying, you know, the morale of the team is down because people don't know how to communicate with one another. You know, you have people who are in a management position want to yell and scream. Who cares about the meat that's served? Don't eat it. You don't have to even participate. You didn't pay for it. It's nothing that was sponsored. It's everybody who got together throughout the year put in money in a little pot every day, and then, boom, end of year celebration. But you want to complain about that? You're not going there with real issues. People do not want to become unified in nothing. Why? Because now you got too many people who want to leave.
Mm-hmm. I just said that.
Too many people want to leave. You cannot have a tribe full of chiefs. Who's going to do the work? Who's going to catch the animals? Who's going to cook them? Who's going to do that? Who's going to run the peace pipe? Who's going to start the fire? If everybody has on a chief hat and sitting around and they looking at each other, ain't nothing getting done, they all die and starve. Why? Because you got nobody doing the labor for you.
You're absolutely right. Listen, we're talking about, for those of you, some of you may have just tuned in, we're talking about you can't take that away from me. What is that? Your power, your confidence in what you're doing and what you're all about.
And all of that's tied in because your confidence and things like that and what you're about are your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mess with a person mentally, it's just like mental abuse, emotional abuse.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it
is.
It's like, you know, I'm not saying it's right to beat people, period, women or men. But if you hit me in my eye, that will heal. Mm-hmm. I can heal from that. It was a girl on one of the shows I watched last night. He just slapped right in the eye, swollen up instantly. She eventually will heal from that. But when you mess with a person's mental, you know, stability, and their emotional stability, you knock all those things. You shake their emotions up. So a person who was confident is no longer as confident as they were.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel, are there any protections or in place for people on jobs who are emotionally damaged by what went on the job?
No.
Then
you want to know why? Because the law says, I can't speak for every state, but I'm going to say in the state of Texas, which is where we live,
mm-hmm.
emotional and mental disarray that is given to you by a manager, upper management, whomever,
mm-hmm.
is considered a management style.
Okay.
And in the state of Texas, you cannot attack a management style.
Well, I tell you what, I believe we can change that.
If enough people get it clamoring
about it, then
but
not
the
only
thing.
Will
people,
change the
you know,
management style, but it takes one
thing,
person.
You know what, though?
And we need
we
to start
like
looking
the,
for people
like,
who have been affected by it and make sure we can come to a unified
like
front on that.
We like to get on things that really don't matter.
Yes.
You know, now that's dealing with people's money and things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and life,
you know,
livelihood.
You know, we like to get on people smoking in bars. We want to, you know,
that's
oh my
the
God,
most ludicrous thing
this is,
I've
you know,
heard.
And that, neither one of you smoke.
Exactly.
And you know, that to me,
if I own the bar,
that's to me, what are you going there for? I'm not going
you
there for
to
no
pay
money or nothing. And
you know that
thing
when
about,
you drink, you smoke. Yeah, people who don't even smoke, but will take a cigarette when they get ready to drink. Yeah.
You know, same thing about who the people that say they want to ban children
from certain times at the restaurant. Then, you know, things like that, people, that's what people, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they little don't, children, they whine and stuff while we trying to get romantic. That's dumb.
Well, go,
you know, you want
to
see that. You want
to go to a hotel,
you
and
follow
that. About that. Yeah.
And, but just
and
the other day.
And the stadium going to be built.
Just the other day, they lost like $3 trillion, the government.
Yeah. Where did it go?
Where did it go?
Because
now,
if I don't
vocal,
file my taxes,
you're
going to be on my
that.
Front door asking me for the little bit that I have. Excuse me, the IRS needs
so,
money.
You know,
how do you lose $3
trillion? That's what I'm saying. We give away stuff because we look and fight about nonsense.
Yes.
We fight about what color the teacher is instead of going in there and saying, okay, what are these kids learning? Like, I get on my daughter. She has book class. She goes to the library. They make sure they read. But my daughter is advanced. And I look at the books she reads,
mm-hmm.
and it's two sentences.
She is boring to
No. She is beyond that. She is into, she should be reading chapter books because she can read like that. So, you know, as a parent, see, I want, that's, you know.
That's what you need to be aware
of. Yeah, all of this other.
Not the fact that they served you a soda at lunch. You got a soda, you're going to be fat. Our children are obese because they have a soda machine, and they give them ice cream.
But how many times they let them go outside? High schoolers
okay.
don't have recess.
First of all, not even that.
They don't even gym right.
Thank you. Jim has been sitting around throwing a ball as long as you just stay in the gym, smelling like feet and wet socks. But you know what? We want to complain about that. See, our children are too obese. Not selling soda and not selling candy is not going to keep them.
Because
they're going
to go home and get
beat.
They're
going to go home and still sit on the couch. At least they're walking from class to class.
No, you want to say, you know, let's say, okay, so why is healthy food so expensive?
Exactly.
So you got to attack the problem.
It,
see, that's
why
you take
my
minimum
wage.
The
symptoms,
and, yeah,
not the foundation of the problem.
And why is my minimum wage not high enough for me to buy an apple? I have to buy a can of potted meat.
Exactly. Because you know what? The healthy thing to do is shop around the outer surface of the store. Everything inside. It's processed foods and things. Those are the most unhealthy things with the highest sodium, carbohydrates, blah, 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 blah. Now, I can get me a little ground meat, go buy a couple things, a hamburger helper. I have meal for a whole 2 weeks. But if I want to go get me some, and have you noticed things fall very quickly now? Like the lettuce.
How it's raised, how it's grown.
Lettuce, tomatoes.
See, that's what they need to cut out, these chemicals. I'm from the country. We had a garden. The only thing we bought growing up was flour.
Listen,
everything else we raised it from the ground.
Well,
we raised
not even
our
that. It's just
cows,
let me tell you how. The bottom line of everything is money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you why I say that. If you think back, even people who were not farmers who lived the city life, you did not see obesity as rampant as you see it now.
It's what they
now. Thank you.
Grown in.
You have all this stuff they're punching in their food, hot house tomatoes, and if you think about it, every other week is a recall on something. Oh, girl, don't eat that meat, girl. They chopped up a mad cow and put it in a hot pocket. Remember, it was all over the news.
Yeah,
and I was all in the freezer looking like, Lord, I know I had a. Did I have it before they called a mad cow back? Is that why my stomach been hurt? Everything is mad cow. Don't eat the, for a while there, my mother loved spinach. She could not eat spinach. Girl. They had that, what is it, salmonella rolling through the spinach. You can't eat that. Oh, then they found this new strain, something that caused your eye to cock out. So then you start watching this movie about viruses spreads. You start thinking, I'm going to quit just eating. I'm going to go get this little processed soy burger up here from McDonald's. They call them beef. Because it's 99 cents.
Yeah.
But if I want to go build me a salad, if I want to make me a good salad, either I'm going to pay the same price building my own salad at home,
than I would if I went to Super Salad.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the same. It's the same thing. Think about it. If you're going to go out to a restaurant, you might as well go out to a restaurant every day, because if eating healthy is going to do the same thing. It is expensive. I tried the healthy eating. You have to, it does not work. Yeah, I had to get a second job just to pay the food. Because the grocery bill went from $150 to $400.
You have to think about stuff like that when we say, as the title of our show says, you can't take that away from me. But the decisions we make and the choices we make, we give our
Thank
power
you.
That's away.
What I want to say. You're right. No one can take anything from you.
But
we give it away.
We
relinquish our control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, what do you call it? What do you call it when they give up the throne? I renounce my crown.
Yeah,
we just giving it right up. Just give it here. You can take it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. It's all right. You sitting there. And the vision I get in my head is just a little person sitting there while everybody's going in, just moving their stuff out their house.
Yeah.
And you just sitting there holding on to that one little cap. Well, my grandmama gave me this. I'm holding on to it. And eventually that's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
If you don't stand, we don't stand up for anything. Everybody's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So chicken. Oh, girl, I got to look out for me. Not knowing the greater picture. If we had the same picture as the people who were the oppressors,
mm-hmm.
The greater picture is you need me.
Yeah.
Just like Courtney said, you don't know your worth. As a country, listen, I'm going to go, if everybody in the country went exempt zero on their taxes, don't take no taxes out of my check, then see what you're going to do. Now tell me what happened to that $7 trillion you lost. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. What is the IRS going to
do?
Do
you lose it?
Everybody
have it in their pocket and was walking next door and just
see, but my thing is, but we don't stand up for anything. Think about
it.
Can the IRS attack everybody in the world?
No.
At the same time. If nobody paid taxes, not a person. They're like, I refuse to pay taxes. If everybody, if a billion people said, I'm not paying taxes.
Like 400 million people in America.
Thank you. If everybody said, I'm not paying taxes, my money is mine, I'll work for it, because everything you pay taxes for is supposed to be Social Security, disability,
there's no more Social Security,
and things like that. There's no such thing as Social Security. So you mean to tell me...
I'm saying in essence it is, but no.
It doesn't have the funds it used to.
Yeah,
you want to know why?
By the time we get there will be no Social Security for us.
Right. So
there's not even
time,
enough for our mother, really. That they're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to know why? Because that money was sitting there for years and years and years. And what they do, then nobody, see, that's what, people don't ask questions. If you've been taking taxes for Social Security for everybody that has worked since the beginning of the Social Security Act,
mm-hmm.
Think about it. All those people who have gone on and died have worked. Basically, Social Security is supposed to be a nest egg. I'm putting into this so I can get it back when I get old. So that I will have to not depend on the government to take care of me. That's basically what it said.
Okay, so
now,
what would happen if, and we have like 6 minutes, what would happen rather than me giving to Social Security? What if I just put my money every month in a can and hid it at home?
You'd be better off because you know you can control that can. The government has been pilfering out of that Social Security fund for years now, so I got down to the point where it's naked
and
time goes on.
All of them have.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat. Honey, to me, a Democrat is the same thing as a Republican. It's got a different name. Just to divide the people. That's all it is. It's the same thing they're saying.
They
only got a few things. They just divide the people.
They can't take it, like I said in the beginning of the broadcast. We give people the ammunition. You know, it's like, it's as if, you know, we want somebody to kill us, so we take the gun off our hips and say, here, give it to them.
Exactly.
Here, shoot us.
Go ahead, shoot at my face. And
well, I'm
going to
petition for the next election. I'm a petition the next presidential election. I'm going to petition for sectors. Write somebody's name in that ballot. Don't vote for the people that's up there. Write somebody you know name
in
that ballot.
What if that happened, they would crap themselves, and you would see. You know, if everybody would just write something else different, nobody would pick nobody, then we would see if voting is real.
That's my point. We have to become active in order to find out. And I'm not talking about write down who is making the most noise in the neighborhood. I'm talking about Joe Schmo down there.
Look at
the
people. Look at the people. Now I can understand that they would have you know, death threats and stuff like that, like the president. I understand that he needs guards. But, and I, you know, I'm not taking that away, but y'all can come out of that White House sometime.
Well, I need to ask them.
Y'all can come off of Capitol Hill sometime. And what I'm tired of, and this is why I'm not letting them take nothing away from, you know, me no more. I feel your pain. You do not feel my pain.
Because you have never been, bread.
You have never in your life had to go to someone else's house to get water, bathe in. So I don't want to hear that you have felt my pain. You don't feel no pain.
No, you don't.
You don't understand me because you've always had.
You can eat. Anytime you wake up in the middle of the night, you can go in there and there's a chef to cook for you. You have someone to do all these things for you. But I'm talking about the basics. You can go in there and cut on the light. I've been without electricity.
I've been out without electricity.
Thank you.
Water, gas.
Yeah.
And all this. And thank God it's summertime so they can keep the lights on. It's above 100. Please, Lord, don't let it drop under 100.
Because as soon as it drops under 100, they
cut
your
lights off.
Thank you. I know that. Now, that's feeling my pain.
Yeah,
ain't
exactly.
Nobody up there at 1600 Pennsylvania talking about, cut the lights down, y'all. We got a conservative electric bill. Now, why? Because my tax dollar paying it. So I'm taking care of your house and mine.
Then the other thing is, if you want to take something back, you already rich. What are we still paying you for?
That's my point.
President makes $400,000 a year. The man was already, and I'm not just talking about President Obama. I'm
all
about
the
George,
president.
George Bush made his dough and
And cut
oil,
the time down.
And oil, and he was CIA. So you got money stacked up.
I think the presidency should be a volunteer situation.
No, you can already volunteer.
No, when I say volunteer, I'm talking about no pay. You live you
no,
in that house?
No, it should be that way anyway. Once you get to that level, I guarantee ain't nobody there that level from president, any senator or anything. I guarantee no one is threatening them with a disconnect notice.
Guarantee.
And nothing.
Okay.
So you should be a, you know, that this is things that we need to be trying to fight
there's
about.
There's nobody saying, you know what, there was a shooting at your child's school today, and you know.
No, because they be.
Why? Because no, they go to those private schools and they got their little specialty
and
they drop them off.
And this is what I want to understand. So when, you know, this is how we talk about taking our stuff. And I know we closing,
mm-hmm.
But when the little school shooting happened in the East Coast,
yeah, in Connecticut,
they thought it was so preposterous. You know that. You know, the guy said, you know what, if we had armed guards, you know, this wouldn't happen. That was stupid. Who's on now what they're doing, armed guards? See, this is the kind of, and people.
But the thing that kills me, if you look in certain parts of the country, in urban neighborhoods, people have been shot all the time. They have their own police force for the schools.
Okay. Exactly. Dallas,
I know this is really getting good because we've kind of gotten a little dandruff up among my panel here tonight because we're talking about you can't take that away from me.
I just feel like I've been taken from too much.
So we're gonna come back and we'll have this for a different time. But I really enjoyed the show. You can't take that away from me. We're talking about our power, our confidence in ourselves, where we don't believe in our own abilities anymore. We have been trained to do certain things, but we don't agree, you know, we've had too much thrown at us, and we've been robbed too much. So this is Lois, and this is Let's Talk Truth. And listen, if you want to send me mail, you can send it to Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com, or go on my blog page, loisbullock.blogspot.com. And we'd love to hear from you. And we're not trying to say we're a know-it-all, but we're saying let's talk truth. We try to get in there and evaluate everything, put everything out there, and let you think about what we're talking about. So, again, tonight we had a good time. You can't take that away from me. That meaning your power, your confidence.
And so we've enjoyed having you. This is Lois Bullock, Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night and be blessed.